But bless the Lord. So why don't you stand to your feet and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians. We want to look at the third chapter in the book of 1 Corinthians and see what the Lord has for us today. Say amen when you've located the text. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. So good to see my sister. I think I saw her walk in here. Reverend Dr. Blanks, Deborah Blanks. Where are you, Reverend Blanks? I saw you come in. Where are you? There she is. She can't hide. There she is. I see you. It's good to see you. Good to have the former associate dean of the Princeton University Chapel, and we bless the Lord for her and her faithfulness. She's a wonderful friend and a greater minister of the gospel. And I should have got an amen from the sisters in Shiloh, because she's preached many a women's retreat and done many women's retreat workshops for us, and bless the Lord for her. I want to start reading in chapter number 3, verse number 1. And the Bible reads, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, parenthetically, anything, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and sanctify the people of God. I would, beloved, that you pray with me today on the title of today's sermon, Standing on a Sure Foundation. Standing on a Sure Foundation. I want you to just look over to the person standing next to you and say, "Neighbor, I pray that you are standing on a sure foundation. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen." Father, have your way. Give us illumination of our minds. Teach us something we did not know. Encourage our hearts. Help us to know trouble doesn't last always. And God, I pray ultimately that you will convict somebody's soul all of our souls, that we may have a closer walk with Thee. And maybe there's someone here, God, who does not know You in the pardon of their sin. I pray that You would call them forth out of darkness into the marvelous light. And God, we shall give Your name the glory, the praise, and the honor, for You alone are worthy to be praised. Have Your way, God. Let the anointing fall fresh in this place, and we shall indeed lift You on high. For You said, if You be lifted up, You will draw men and women unto Yourself. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray it. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say, amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated. Ushers, you may be seated as well. Beloved, I want to preach and teach about, I should say, over the next several Sundays, a mini sermon series about foundations. You heard me preach the last Sunday I was here, which was the 19th of July, out of the book of Ezra. And it was in the book of Ezra that the word foundations is mentioned multiple times. If you looked in this text, you should have noticed with me on 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10, verse 11, and verse 12, that the word foundation or foundations is mentioned three times. And so over the course of the next several Sundays, today, the second Sunday of July, of August, August the 9th, August the 16th, August the 23rd, and August the 30th, if the Lord say the same, that and spares our lives for us to see those Sundays, it is my intention and my endeavor to dig deep into what does the Bible have to say about this Hebrew word and this Greek word that we have come to know in English as foundations. I believe that there's much to glean about the word in the text and from a variety of different texts in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. I've mentioned on occasion, or on last occasion we were together, that the Hebrew word for foundation or foundations is yasad. And this word yasad, or as another translation as yasa, is a word in Hebrew that literally means the physical foundation of a building. And so when we see the use of this Hebrew word, it is usually in conjunction with the building of the temple, the building of the first temple, the building of the rebuilding of the second temple, that it is in the Hebrew language that this word yasad, or its derivative yasah, in other words, like it, is in reference to the thing underneath the ground upon which the building is built. And so we have come to know the foundation of a building as a slab of concrete or a slab of asphalt that has stone, a cornerstone to it, and it is upon that stone of slab or concrete, that slab of asphalt, that we then build new structures. And it is even this building in 1969, before these nice stained glass windows were put in and these plush pews and this plush carpet was put in, these wooden benches were put in, it was a slab of concrete. There are pictures of it when Dr. Woodson and others laid the cornerstone and dedicated the foundation upon which the building would be built. How many of you actually remember that day in which there was the laying of the cornerstone and the lying of the foundation? And what we see now, 40 plus years later, is a building that is built upon a strong foundation. Amen, somebody. This building has lasted 40 plus years. We've made some modifications. We've done some capital improvements. But the basic structure that was laid down 40 years ago is still holding to this day. And so it is that word, yasad, that references the thing underneath the building upon which the building is built. And if the foundation is strong, it will help shore up the building that is built on top of it. How many of you are building your building on a strong foundation? And so when we jump from between the testaments, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and we look at the word foundation in Greek, the word in Greek is themelios. And it's no coincidence that in English, the word is theme. And if you contemplate what is the meaning of the English word theme, you then will get some deeper appreciation for the Greek word themelios, as it relates to a foundation. Why? Because the theme of any written material, the theme of any article, the theme of any newspaper writing, the theme of any broadcast, the theme of any presentation is the thing that keeps it all together. It is the thing that runs through the string of the presentation that allows the thing to be built upon itself and holds it together. If you can lay out a clear theme, then the rest of the writing will follow. As my grandteachers used to tell me, what is your theme, Armstrong? Focus on the theme. Focus on the core message you are trying to communicate. And if your theme is coherent and your theme is solid, the rest of which you build on that will make sense. And so in the same way as building, when you are building a presentation, when you are building a sermon, when you are constructing a presentation, you've got to make sure that the foundation, the theme that runs through it all, is able to stick it all together and keep it all together. Do I have a witness of what I'm talking about today? And so therefore, when I think about this themelios, the word in Greek that means foundation, it is no coincidence that the word Paul uses in today's text that we see mentioned not once, not twice, but three times in the text. It is no coincidence that then that word themelios makes great sense, in which Paul uses to talk about foundation. If you look at the text, and I want you to see this in the screen and in the Bible, there are these three times in which Paul mentions the word foundations or themelios, and one of which is in verse number 10, and it says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. If you go to verse number 11, it says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to say in verse number 12, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, then let him build, or each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. So I am of the mindset, and I know that's hard to see on the screens, but if you just saw 10, 11, 12 in your text, you could not miss the fact that the word is mentioned three times. And so therefore, I am of the mindset that anytime God uses a biblical expositor or biblical writer to repeat a word or a phrase multiple times, then I've got to pay attention to that word. Amen? It's like Mama said, did you hear me the last time I told you? Because if I have to repeat myself, it won't be pretty. You better make sure you heard it the first time. And if you didn't get it the first time, I hope you heard it the second time. But if by chance you missed it, you might not ever forget the third time, because Mama's going to make you remember. Hey, maybe I was the only one that had a big mama like that. Amen. And so it is that God repeats the word not once, not twice, but three times. And so therefore, it makes sense that I would pay attention to this word. It is almost eerily similar to Ezra chapter 3, in which God says he mentions the word in Ezra three times. He mentions it in Ezra chapter 3, verse 10, in Ezra chapter 3, verse 11, 12, 13. And in those texts, it says about the foundation being laid for the temple. And in thinking about that again, my mind has to be, why is this word so important? Well, I have concluded, and I want to teach more about the fact that when we see this word, you and I have to remind ourselves, upon what foundation are we standing? That you and I must contemplate the very thing that we take for granted, the very ground upon which we are standing. So many of us are rocked and rattled and riddled by the reality when the ground shakes under us. And I have concluded that not only will the ground shake under me, but the ground around me, and unless I know upon which foundation I am truly standing, I am mentally and physically and spiritually prone to lose my configuration, my sense of stability, if I am looking at everything else other than my strong foundation. And I have concluded, just like the psalm writer says, on Christ the solid rock I stand, while all of the ground is sinking sand. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, while all of the ground is sinking sand. Some of us have had our foundations rocked. I've mentioned this before, and I want to keep mentioning it again, because I don't know who I am ministering right now, but the fact of the matter is, many of us have had our foundations rocked. What do you mean by foundation, Pastor? The thing you've taken for granted that will always be there. You've stood on it for most of your life, for a lot of your life, but all of a sudden, that thing that you have been standing on is either cracking or breaking, and in the worst case, it is no longer there. And you find yourself discombobulated. You find yourself scattered. You find yourself broken. You find yourself questioning. You find yourself yearning when you thought you had it all together yesterday, but today you woke up and something was broken in your foundation. Some of us have been standing on relationships that we've taken for granted for years and for months and for years, but out of the blue and all of a sudden, there is a crack and a fissure in your foundation that if you don't do something about it or with it, it will continue to open. How many of you know that if you don't deal with the one crack may yield into other cracks, and sooner rather than later, the whole foundation is decaying and falling apart. And I have met Christians, not just people, Christians who were sure of themselves yesterday, but something happened today that rocked their foundation, and they have found themselves catapulted into a world of wonderment and questioning and asking, God, where are you? But I need to remind someone today that the same God upon which you stood yesterday is the same God that God wants you to stand on today. And I need you to be reminded that God is in the foundation repairing business. And sometimes if he doesn't repair the first foundation, I need you to know he'll build you another foundation. And I have concluded that sometimes the second foundation is better than the first foundation. The second foundation is stronger than the first foundation. The second foundation is bigger than the first foundation. And I never would have gone to the next foundation if God had not allowed my first foundation to be shattered. Sometimes God will allow your first foundation to go through some trial and some testing. And so this word foundation is so very important, because before you can build your nice house on it, you got to make sure that the foundation under it is stable. And not only must you make sure it's stable and strong, you must make sure it is made out of the right material. And the right material in this case is Jesus and the Word of God. It is no wonder then that Paul says in verse number 9, go back to the text, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. You are the spiritual house of God." And I have also come to the conclusion in my growth and development as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ that I must get to a point, even when my house has fallen down, and my foundation may have even been destroyed, can I still praise God in the middle of my circumstances when I no longer have the house and I no longer have the foundation? Can I still give God glory? Can I still give God praise? Can I still give God honor in the middle of my brokenness? And the reason I've concluded that, because in the Old Testament, the people of God had to learn how to praise God when they're in the temple. Now, I don't want to re-preach the same sermon I preached on July 19, but I got to say this again, that when Nebuchadnezzar in 586 B.C. began to deport all of those Jewish immigrants or forcibly relocate all of those Jewish people, the best and the brightest, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and the stories of Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the stories of Esther, and the stories of all those stories in Babylon, it said to me that they had to learn how to adjust themselves in a foreign place where there is no longer a building to go to, and they still had to learn how to praise God. And I said to myself, if the building was no longer here, would we be able to praise God? And I have concluded that I believe that many of you, if not most of you, and I pray that all of you would be able to still give God glory and praise, even when the material things have fallen down by the wayside. For me, it is the quintessential story, one of the quintessential stories of the Jewish narrative, that they had to reformulate their relationship to God, not based around a building, but based around relationship. Jeremiah 31:31 says, "I will build a new covenant with you, and it will no longer be written on tablet and clay. I will write it upon the walls of your heart and put it on the inside." And so when I hear that song on the contemporary gospel radio, "Something on the Inside, Working on the Outside." Oh, what a change in my life. Does anybody have something on the inside, working on the outside? And you can say on your job, "I don't care what you take from me, because there's something on the inside that has stabilized me. There is something on the inside that has anchored me. There is something on the inside that is keeping me." So the constant tension between the Old Testament and the New Testament around themes that go through both Testaments, this is one of them: your foundation. Paul says, you are the spiritual building of God. So now the question becomes, what kind of spiritual building are we building? And I would challenge each and every one of you to ask yourself that personal question. What am I building? And upon what foundation am I building it? Ask yourself that question professionally. What kind of building am I building? And what foundation am I building it on? Ask yourself that familially, in your family. What am I building in my marriage? And is it founded on the Word of God? What kind of foundation am I relationship or building am I building with my children? And is it anchored on the Word of God? What kind of building am I building in my church? I'm involved in ministry, but what kind of building am I building? And is it anchored on the Word? I know I sing well in the choir. I know I usher well on the usher board. I know I do this and I do that, but is it anchored on the Word of God? Because I'd rather it be anchored on the Word of God and you've got a window missing as opposed to you fixing all your windows, but there's no foundation upon which you're building it that gives any credence about the Word of God. So the question of the building and its foundation is the imagery that Paul uses and that most of the writers use throughout the 66 books. Interestingly enough, there is no mentioning of the word yasad or foundation in the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. Most theologians who've read and searched, one doesn't really reference the word foundation. It isn't until we get to Joshua and the building of Jericho. That's a whole nother sermon. I'm going to not get ahead of myself, but that's presumably the first time that we see the word foundation mentioned in the Old Testament, but it continues on throughout the end of the book in Revelation. And so over the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to explicate this. But back to the text today, Paul uses the word three times, themelios, and he says he's writing the book because there are divisions in the body of Christ. Paul is the great theologian, the great evangelist, but above all else, he was a great pastor. Paul pastored the people of the churches he established in Corinth. Paul pastored the people, the Christians in Thessalonica. Paul pastored the people in Galatia. Paul pastored the people in Philippi. Paul pastored the people in Ephesus. Paul pastored the people in Rome. Paul pastored the people who God used him to establish. And here's the thing about the text that blows me away. The thing that they're arguing about, Paul has to write and make sure they understand that your argument is fallacious. It has no basis in reason. And you're missing the point. And oh, how true it is in our church today that we argue and divide ourselves over things that are of no consequence to the kingdom of God. Paul says in the text, in point of fact, he writes the whole book of 1 Corinthians is about divisions. He writes about, I need to help you understand better the issues of resurrection from the dead. I need to help you understand better the issues of marriage. I need to, and divorce. I need to help you understand better, which is what 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is all about. I need to help you understand better the issue of baptism, which is what chapter 3 is all about. Here's the point. Some of them were saying, I was baptized by Apollos. Others would say, I was baptized by Paul. And what they were really saying is that they were getting into what we often do in our human relationships. We devolve, we descend into conversations that have no meaning for the gospel. And so they're saying the person who baptized me is better than the person who baptized you. And Paul says, well, if you really knew anything about the whole thing, you would know that I taught the people who taught Apollos. So if you really wanted to get into the conversation, I am a little bit superior than the person that you are comparing me to. But here's where Paul takes the high ground. And here's why I need you to hear me very clearly. In an opportunity when Paul had to say, I'm right, Paul lifted the conversation higher than himself and pointed it back to God. Don't miss this now, because here is where the rubber meets the road. All of us engage in conversations and relationships where we could either do one of two things, take the conversation higher or let the conversation descend into something that has no consequence for the kingdom of God. Listen to me now. And so Paul could have exerted his rights. After all, Paul says, I was born of the right lineage. I was educated at the best schools. I do have all the power relationships that you don't have. I could make myself be all of this. But look at what he says in verse number 6 and 7 and 8. He says, I am nothing. Who is Paul and who is Apollos but servants of the Most High God? And I declare today that the church of Jesus Christ would be so much better, so much stronger if we got above ourselves, outside of ourselves, and said, I am nobody, I am nothing, but God who rescued me, who brought me out of darkness, that's who I am. My education doesn't mean a thing. My degrees are of no consequence. My biological pedigree and bloodline does not matter. Who I know does not factor in. I just want you to know that I'm covered under the blood of Jesus. Is anybody covered under the blood of Jesus today? Does anybody understand that when you let go of all this human stuff, that God will begin to mold you and shape you and develop you into the person, the building that God wants us to be? When I think about the Old Testament, when I think about the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against one's neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife or his maidservant or his male servant or his oxen or his cattle. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not murder. And if I love my neighbor, I would not do these things to them. And yet on the flip side, God says there are a couple of things you need to do for me. Forget about them. You need to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. 6 days the Lord worked, but on the seventh day I rested. And if I rested, don't you know you need to rest? And God says in the first commandment, I remember that I am the Lord thy God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, who led you through the terrible wilderness. Thou shalt have no other God before me. And it struck me that the two themes, the milios, foundation, the thing that keeps it all together, the two things that I believe God says over and over again is that you have to have the right vertical relationship. And if you don't have the right vertical relationship, you can't have the right horizontal relationship. And so therefore, I believe that what we're seeing in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is that their vertical relationships are broken. They're messed up. Paul has to remind them that until you get this together, this is never going to come together. And he says that the foundation upon which you're building all of this, you must be mindful of it. I had a couple of, over the last month, I've had some interesting conversations, two of which I've had with pastor colleagues, friends, and they were hard conversations. They were hard. And at the point of the conversation, I had to make a decision. Do I want to lift the conversation higher, or do I want to let the conversation go lower? Because there is no middle ground. To do nothing is to be complicit with devolving the conversation. But if you make an intentional effort to lift the conversation a little bit higher, then I believe God will get the glory and the relationship will be healed. Come on, somebody. And so therefore, I believe what Paul is helping us to understand about the foundation upon which we're building all our building is to understand that what's the thing that keeps this all together? And the theme, I think, is something that God said way back back when and reiterates even into the New Testament and even into the current present time, that until our foundation is correct, that the things that we are building are going to be of no consequence, and in point of fact, they will be in vain. What a shame to do all this work and to have it be in vain. But the good news of the gospel is the foundation can be built again. The good news of the gospel is God can build you another house even when the first house has been broken. Let me be real clear. God can restore your relationship. God can give you another job. God can repair your relationship with your husband or your wife. God can deal with your unemployment. God can heal your body. God can take care of your children. God can deal with your church. God can do whatever God wants to do. But you've got to let go and humble yourself and build your foundation on the Word of God. Paul says in the text, I am nothing and nobody. I plant Apollos water or Apollos waters, and I plant, but God gives the increase. Don't you know there's some things you're not going to be able to do? You can stay up as late as you want to. You can get up as early as you want to. But until God gives the increase, it's not going to happen. And you've got to be able to say, Lord, whenever and whatever you want to do, you go ahead and do it. But I'm going to stand here on my strong foundation, and I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on praising. I'm going to keep on believing. I'm going to keep on reading. I'm going to keep on studying. But I'm also going to be intentional about my relationships. And I don't want you to miss this again. Paul could have beat up on those people who were comparing him to Apollos. And it doesn't say, quite frankly, Apollos was comparing himself to Paul. The people were. Paul could have came in there with righteous indignation. I'm Pastor Paul. Don't you know who I am? Y'all wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for me. But Paul didn't come in declaring that. Paul says, I'm nothing. And God is everything. And he says, let me warn you. Don't lay another foundation than the foundation that has already been laid. And if there's one verse that we ought to close on and stick closely to, is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For there is no other foundation than that which has already been laid. Let me read it very clearly out of the text. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation that can be laid than that which has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if I were to close with one very clear challenge to each and every one of us, I would argue that there are some broken relationships, some divisions that all of us have, not just in the church. I'm not just speaking about the church. I'm not speaking to anybody in the church. I'm speaking about your personal life and your relationship with God and with others. And I would challenge you today, this week, to find one person whom you have perhaps had brokenness in relation with, or with whom you've had broken relations, and I would challenge you to emulate and replicate and even duplicate what Paul did in this text. He devolved, he reduced himself, meaning he humbled himself, and he lifted up God, and he helped them deal with their broken divisions and relationship by pointing the conversation back to God. And I would challenge us to say, who do I need to go to this week to do this, to lift the conversation higher. And I don't know who that is for you. I've had some relationships and some conversations lately, and I am convinced that the more we point folk back up to God, the better off the situation is going to end. Come on, somebody. And I am just going to conclude today's sermon. We'll pick it up again next Sunday. That what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 is absolutely clear. There's some text that you don't even have to exegete and expository preach. You just have to say it itself. And no matter how you say it, it says the same thing. There is no other foundation. So maybe if I put the emphasis on there is no other foundation, then that which has already been laid, it says the same thing as there is no other foundation. But maybe I say there is no other foundation, or maybe I say there is no other foundation, but no matter how I say it and no matter where I put the emphasis, the conclusion is the same. There is no other foundation than that foundation that has already been laid, and that foundation is Jesus the Christ, my bright and morning star. Jesus the Christ, my role within the Shem, my roles of Sharon. Jesus the Christ, my will within the wheel. Jesus the Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. No other. There is no other. There is no other foundation than that which has already been laid. And if we build our house on Jesus, and if you haven't got it, let me just remind you what the Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 1 says. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so when I look at the Word, I am looking at Jesus. And when I get the Word, I am getting Jesus. And when I'm building my foundation on the Word, I'm building my foundation on Jesus, the solid rock I stand on all of the ground. All of the ground is sinking sand. Boy, it is my prayer that we would catch what Paul is saying. That the theme that runs through it all is Jesus as my foundation. And we who are believers must stand on that strong foundation. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen again. And one more time for the Holy Spirit. Everybody standing to their feet. Everybody standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess clergy, won't you help me extend the invitation? We're going to extend an invitation to Christian discipleship, believing that maybe there's someone here today who has not made a clear statement about their faith. Perhaps we're putting our faith in a lot of other things and a lot of other people. And I simply want to remind you what the text says. Until you build your house on the foundation of Jesus Christ and come to the conclusion that there is no guarantee of anything and anybody other than God, that you may even lose some people and even relationships. But as long as you're standing on the sure foundation of Jesus, God will make a way for you in the name of Jesus. And so I hope that if you're here today, you seriously consider stepping out on faith and saying, God, I've tried everything else. I want to try you. And for some of you who might say, I tried you once, I want you to say to God, and I believe God wants to hear you say, I'm going to try you again, God. I'm going to try you again, God. And again and again and again. In the name of Jesus. And so as the choir sings, these invitations are extended. To come to Christ for the first time, give us your hand and give God your heart. And even for some of you who have already done it and accepted the Lord as your Savior, that you would come and try Him again. Anybody here want to join the church? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And more important, does anybody want to give their life to the Lord Jesus? Anyone here today? 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 One more time, choir. Lift up the name of the Lord.
We offer Christ to you, oh my brother.
Anyone here today?
We offer.
Oh,
my sister.
Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Anyone here?
He will give you brand new life.
New life.
New life abundantly.
Oh, come. Bless your name. Come on. To Christ. Stay right there, choir. To Christ. I believe that God is moving in somebody's heart. And if you come to Christ, He'll change some things in your life. If you come to Christ, He'll straighten out some crooked places for you. If you come to Christ, He'll smooth over some rough places for you. If you come to Christ, He'll open doors that no man can shut. If you come to Christ, He'll build bridges over waters that you thought were troubled. If you come to Christ, lift it up a little bit higher, choir.
To Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
To Christ.
Anyone here? Anyone here? Anyone here?
To Christ.
Come on. Take it up a little bit higher, choir. To Christ. Thank you, Father. How many know He's worthy? How many know He's able? How many know if you just give Him the praise? When praises go up, blessings come down. Thank you, Lord. To Christ. Put your hands together and give the Lord a praise offering in this place. Praise Him like you know Him. Praise you like you mean it. Praise Him like He's done something for you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Why don't we pray together? Father, we thank You for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, our hearts have felt. Bless now Your people that they may receive Your word, that we all may ruminate and contemplate and think about it. How it applies to our lives. Your word is so rich. And we are so broken. And we need You, God. And we thank You that You gave us a road map back to how to find You. Basic instructions before leaving this earth. Thank You for Your Bible. Help us to stand on it. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say amen.
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 And amen. Give the Lord a praise offering in this place. You may be seated. God bless